Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Today, Richard and I go through our mailbag answering questions. We've gotten these questions from our listeners, either through gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com, Twitter accounts, personal emails to Richard or me, or sometimes just questions asked in a hallway somewhere. So,
or in the comments. We also get them on the comments section on the Facebook page or the Gambling with an Edge website. So keep them coming.
Yeah. All right. With the coronavirus showing very little sign of slowing, and online gambling stocks like DraftKings or Penn National growing, do you think online advantage play is becoming more or less feasible or valuable? Also, in your opinion, how much of live casino advantage play experience or knowledge is applicable to online casino advantage play? I'll let you go first, Richard.
Well, like any form of advantage gambling, things are constantly changing. So, online gambling is not what it was prior to 2006 and the Unlawful Internet Gaming Enforcement Act. But I think I still believe there is lots and lots of money to be made at online gambling. And some of it in legal jurisdictions. So they're opening up in new places. If you live in New Jersey or you want to travel there for some period of time, you can play a bunch of New Jersey online casinos. They've opened sports betting now in Colorado. I mean, so it's expanding. Yes, I think there's still a lot of money to be made there. And as to how it compares to live gambling, it's really a different animal completely. It's not about card counting. It's not about hole carding. It's a completely different thing. So there's a lot to be made, but there's going to be a learning curve.
Years before, a significant part of the advantage was in sign-up bonuses. They still exist to some degree, but I would say they're not nearly what they used to be. Do you concur?
Yeah, that's true. A large part of the advantage is still sign-up. Well, is bonuses, not necessarily just sign-up, but bonuses that the casinos give you and loss rebates.
Okay, and then a further question on this. If you hit a large jackpot, say $10,000, and withdraw the winnings in Bitcoin rather than cash, does the jackpot become taxable when the player converts the Bitcoin to cash? And my answer is the jackpot is taxable whether you withdraw the money in Bitcoin or regular dollars. If you're in the U.S. and hit it, it's taxable. And it goes when you actually hit it, not when you withdraw it. And we can ask Russell Fox on the show next time he's on. He's our tax guy. He may disagree with that, but I believe what I said is true.
Well, I would just say that, yeah, we would need to talk to Russell. And actually, I think if you talk to more than one tax guy, you may get different answers. So, for example, when I was playing a lot online, I said to my tax guy, look, these places are offshore, and there's no guarantee 100% that I'm going to get paid. So I did not declare income until I was actually able to withdraw it and receive it. Now, again, it's not the size of the jackpot you hit, it's the amount of your win. So you need to keep good records of your wins and losses. And whether it's in Bitcoin or Western Union or a check, you know, income is income. And, you know, you need to declare your income.
Another question. This one is for me because it's video poker, although Richard's welcome to chime in. In a recent series of blogs, discuss 9-5 triple bonus poker plus. The listener had to create the game and win poker because it's not one they normally include. When he did that from the hand of ace-ace-6-6-4, Win Poker said to hold ace-ace-6-6, and I said to hold ace-ace. And on an inside straight, such as an unsuited 2-3-4-6-8, Win Poker said to throw away all five cards, and I say hold the inside straight. Who should this guy believe? Well, in general, Win Poker is going to be correct 100% of the time if you program it right. However, if you don't include the correct pay schedule, you're going to get wrong answers, garbage in, garbage out kind of thing. The two errors you mentioned indicate to me that you probably have included two pair receiving double money instead of single money. So when two pair pays double money, like 10 coins on a 5-coin bet, then both of the things you mentioned, holding two pair on ace-ace-6-6 and not going for as many inside straights, would be correct. But triple-double or triple bonus poker plus only gets 5. And in those games, you would just hold aces from aces up, and you definitely go for more inside straights. So, and if you put that into Win Poker, Win Poker and I would be in 100% agreement, which means you wouldn't have to choose which one of us is better this time. All right, another question. You mentioned in the last reader mailbag that no one has ever written to say they started listening to our show and is now a successful AP. I don't remember saying that, but maybe we did. So, somebody's writing to say, thank you, we do exist. I started listening to your show because I wanted to get better at recreational video poker. I thought AP was all about card counting blackjack, which is my thing. Your discussions and your guests have opened my eyes to the much broader AP world. Been starting slowly and learning more about slot and VP plays, and have done pretty well over the past 2 years, and it suits me perfectly. I'm very part-time because I have a day job, and I'm passionate about it, but on a per-hour basis, I'm making as much in casino as I am in my real job. To that, I say thank you for sharing with us. We're glad the podcast is useful, and we wish you and our other listeners continued success.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, at what point, you know, if you're making as much as at your real job, at some point, you have to ask yourself, why am I still working this other job for so many hours if I could be doing better by just playing? But maybe you really love your job. So, but anyway, well, yeah, it's great to hear.
Actually, and let's take the counter side to that. Maybe the money from your regular job will keep your wife happier because it's guaranteed and it doesn't have the kind of swings that gambling does. Maybe.
Maybe it gives you health insurance and other benefits. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe to continue what you're doing on a part-time basis, you can keep doing it close to home. But if you do it on a full-time basis, you're going to become blown if you only do it home. So you're going to have to travel. And that's doesn't work for everybody. So somebody wrote about a promotion. They were asking about it. It happened in July. So what state it in doesn't matter. But the fact that it's still worth discussing because promotions tend to recur. So you hit a jackpot of $1,200 or more on Wednesdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and receive the jackpot plus a bonus of the jackpot amount in free play. Is this a positive EP if played on a generic high-limit slot machine at $20 a spin? The fine print does not say anything about only getting this bonus one time. So in theory, you could hit multiple if you were to hit jackpots and play the free play using this method over and over again. Okay, now to answer it, I have no idea about the particular $20 slot machine you're talking about. I don't have their par sheet or the frequency of WTG jackpots on those machines. If they have larger slot machines, say 200 at a time, these are almost certainly positive. I assume Video Keno is excluded from this promotion. It's easy to play some combination of 600 on red and 600 on black with $70 on the green. You usually get paid a $1,200 jackpot and it'll cost you $70. If you get paid $2,400, in terms of the jackpot and the free play, this is a definite moneymaker. Unfortunately, it becomes obvious to the casino after about 5 minutes into the promotion when they have lots of $1,200 jackpots at roulette, where they rarely get one on most days. So it's easy to exclude these machines from the promotion. Do you have any comments, Richard?
No, other than, you know, I'm sure there's a video poker option that would be positive.
Usually, if they're big enough, if the machines are big enough, some places only have up to quarter video poker. And if you're playing on a bad jacks or better game, which I'll say is, 8-5 jacks or better, which is 97%. The double royal does add 2%, but it still doesn't make it positive. And you only have a 4-hour window once a week to hit a royal. And on average, royals take, 40, 50, 60 hours, depending on how fast you play. And so most weeks you're going to get your clock clean. And when you do hit the royal, you'll do fine. But overall, it's still a negative play. Now, if they have decent games, which I would just say is 98.5% and higher, then a 2% promotion on this would be good. And especially if they have W2Gs for multiple things like double bonus for dollars is also going to have a WTG on four aces with a kicker. And while that still only happens every 16,000 hands on average, and you're playing in 4 hours, you're playing 4,000 hands, it still adds to it. So the more jackpots you can get into the $1,200 and higher range, the better. There are also tax consequences to this. So don't assume that away.
Yeah, it depends on the state you're in, too, because it wouldn't be playable at all in some states where you can't deduct your losses from your wins.
Exactly. And it's different if you're a professional gambler and if you're not. If you're not a professional gambler, getting too many W2Gs can really mess you up tax-wise. The tax law changed a couple of years ago, and not in there were pluses and minuses, but for people who gamble and get $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 worth of W2Gs each year, it's minus. Somebody wants to know why the graveyard shift is called the graveyard shift. Richard, do you know this?
I've seen many different answers, so there doesn't seem to be any consensus that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I agree. I looked it up on the internet, and there were lots of different ones. It's generally midnight to 8 a.m. approximately. It can be, 2 a.m. to 10 a.m., and the term is used in non-casino places as well. It's not just casinos. It's just our listeners hang out in casinos, so that's where they hear it. But if you
actually, when I became a dealer, the term that I had never heard was swing shift. I had heard a graveyard shift, but swing shift is the shift that usually goes from 6 in the evening until 2 in the morning or 7 to 3. Swings from one day into the other. As I say, that was the term I had never heard before.
Yeah, but if you worked at, like, say, an automobile factory where they had three shifts, the overnight shift would still be called the graveyard there, generally. All right. Hello, Bob and Richard. Big fan of your show. I'm a young guy on my second year of AP career, up around $21,000, and expanding beyond counting. I try to find any edge in the casinos I can, and your show has really been beneficial. He's found a great low stakes video poker play, and I just wanted a professional opinion on a deuces wild game. If the royal is 1,600 credits and four deuces is 9,000, that's a mistake and a slam dunk, right? Also, the pay tables for the jacks are better is the same. Which game is better? And the payout for the royal is 36,000 and for nickels and 72,000 for double pennies. Could the lower stake plays figure out how much a game like this is worth? Thanks, and keep the broadcast coming. Okay, the first one sounds like a loose deuce machine, where in Deuces Wild, normally for 16,000 royal, the deuces pay 4,000. In double deuces, they pay 8,000, and loose deuces, they actually pay 10,000. So it could be any of that. To do this, you have to convert it all into 4,000 coin royals by division. It's not hard to do. If you see a $72,000 coin royal, which is 17 times as large as an 18 coin royal, you need to divide all the numbers by 18. Once you perform that, you can use Video Poker for Winners or any other software to figure out what the game is worth. As a practical matter, a very high percentage of games denominated on nickels or less are very low EV.
You also have to be careful that you're not in New York or Washington, where the numbers mean nothing because they're just slot machines that look like video poker. So.
Yes. Somebody wants tips on scouting. He says he has no clue. He can't imagine how to view a hole card short of putting his cheek on the table. Richard, you want to attack that?
No. I mean, I heard there's a pile of money somewhere in the casino. Would you tell me where it is? I mean, first of all, teaching you how to scout is not something you can do in 30 seconds on the podcast. Nor would I want to anyway. You know, the way you learn these things is by reading everything you can, listening. You know, we've just heard a couple of people write in here who have talked about how much they've learned by listening to the show. That may give you some clues. And the other way that I talk about all the time is by, you know, expanding your network. You meet other people, you have something to offer, and you learn things from each other. And that's how you learn these things.
Okay, good. Next question. To earn tier credits rapidly at Caesar's property, now I suppose they're called El Dorado properties, is it better to count cards with a limited spread at blackjack so as to avoid heat or to play video poker? And my answer is I've always done it through video poker, and I don't know how it works with blackjack. Listeners are welcome to respond in the on gamblingwithanedge.com when we post this video as to what their thoughts are. But I don't have a clue, and I don't think Richard is a Caesars player.
I'm not, but I would just say that given how stingy they are, I doubt that either is the best thing to play. For people who are really into this, it may turn out that there's another game entirely that is a much better option than either one.
That's possible. The video poker in Las Vegas at these properties are generally unplayable. There are properties around the country where they do have better games. They're relatively few and far between. and announcing them to a large audience would cause a run that would eliminate them. So I can't do that. But
also, it all may have changed, given that El Dorado has taken them over.
It does. And for me personally, the one of the things I enjoyed about being Seven Stars were the highly discounted cruises. And, well, I canceled any cruises we were going on this year, and I don't know how soon it's going to be before I'm comfortable going on a cruise again. Which definitely changes the attractiveness of the Seven Stars program. So currently, you have between now and the end of next year, 2021, to qualify for Seven Stars, which means I'm taking a wait-and-see attitude. So I do not have to make any plays or decisions before the end of this year, and I still have the option open for next year, and I still retain seven-star status, which is valuable because it also includes, you know, $500 worth of food and trips to other properties, including up to $1,200 of airfare and other things. So I get that twice for both 20 and 21, even without any additional play. So those things are valuable, but whether or not I want to continue it, given the cruise situation, I have not decided yet.
The other thing I would say is, if you haven't read Comp City, make sure you read that and think about how you can apply the things in that book toward earning your tier credits once you figure out which game would be the best to play.
Yeah, that's a Max Rubin book from 25 years ago, 20 years ago, something like that. Yeah. Some of the things that are in that book are obsolete in that they don't do things that anywhere, but the mindset behind it is still spot on accurate. It is a book that should be in the library of every AP. Okay, next question. On Super Times Pay Machine, does a multiplier appear more often for certain variants of the games? For example, more often for Jacks Are Better than Double Double Bonus? Or is it completely random? And the answer is, it's completely random. Super Times Pay is simply a way to increase the stakes and variance, where you pay 20% more, 6 coins per line instead of 5, and approximately 1 in 15 times you get a multiplier somewhere between 2x and 10x. The strategy is exactly the same as the base game, and it adds approximately 0.25% to the EV, slightly different in some games. This makes it a EV-wise a no-brainer if the base game is good to play and you know the strategy. The Super Times Pay version is better. Next question by the same poster. The same question for Magic Deal Poker. Does one variant produce more magic cards than the other? Now, in this game, periodically you'll be dealt Magic Deal cards, which are similar to wild cards, except they must be a unique card, figured out after all of the other cards have been determined. On games with a low variance, such as Jacks Are Better or Boneless Poker, you get more Magic Deal cards than a game with a high variance, such as Double Double Bonus or Triple Double Bonus. The reason is simple. On games like Jacks Are Better, the ability to turn one card into an ace on demand is worth 125 coins if you get 4 aces. On Double Double Bonus, that same could be worth 2,000 coins, and on Triple Double Bonus, it could be worth 4,000 coins. So this is a game where the strategy is different for the games than the basic strategy, than the basic game itself. Most of the strategy changes are intuitive, and you can figure it out at the table. Some not so much. All right, next player. player normally has a top bet of 2 times $500, but I've had trips where he gets in $9,000 and I've had to quit because he doesn't want to trigger a CTR and have to give the casino his ID. So now he lowers his top bet to 2 times $200, and I've never gotten in more than 6,000. Is this a good approach? Richard, this sounds like blackjack. Sounds like a question for you.
If you're trying to maximize your earn, then no, it's not a good approach. So, you know, this is a reason to keep chips for one. In my own case, with the people I play with, if we didn't have chips, which was really rare, but if we went somewhere and we did not have chips, we might go a day early and buy chips so that we had another 9,000 or so chips in our pocket going in when the play started. But I remember, and, you know, maybe I'll get corrected on this, but I remember asking James Grosjean about this, like, what if you fly to Aruba and you only have $10,000? Should you, if you start losing, should you bet less? Should you do what this guy is doing? And his answer was, as I recall, if I'm not getting this wrong, his answer was, no, you should bet what you always bet, and if you lose it all, well, enjoy the rest of the vacation. So that was, I guess, the maximizing your earn. The other thing I would say is, one of the things he says in his book, which, you know, you should hang on your wall, pack half the clothes and twice the cash. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you're going to a place where there's only one casino. There are places like that, but often there are other casinos in the same area, and if you get in 9,000 at one, you can just go to one of the others.
Does Aruba have CTRs?
No, but I was asking, you know, if you – say you were going there and that was all you happened to be taking was $10,000.
Okay, good. Next question. While showing a 1 to 12 green chip spread across two spots at the end of his first shoe, a surveillance guy walked out from the back and made it his mission to find out who he was. First, he asked me if I was rated, then if I wanted to play rated, and finally followed me to a separate pit and offered to buy me dinner if I became rated. The entire time he watched me from no more than 2 or 3 feet away, throwing COVID caution to the wind. Given the heat I was seeing, had only 3 backoffs at the time, and my belief that I wouldn't play successfully and I couldn't successfully raise his bet anymore, he left. However, some modern takes on counting advocate maximizing EV by playing through heat, never backing yourself off, and treating every additional hour at the casino as generating positive EV. So with this background, the question is, what are your thoughts on playing blackjack unrated through heat and leaving versus leaving when heat is apparent? Richard.
Well, it depends on your game plan overall. First of all, I would say that does not sound like surveillance to me. That sounds like a host. So you may have just backed yourself off for no reason. That is what hosts do. They come and they try to buy you dinner and they try to get your name. So it would be very unusual for a surveillance guy to come over and start talking to you. But again, it depends on what your game plan is. If your game plan is, this is my home casino, I'm going to bet small enough that I can try to hit and run in this place and play here a long time and I don't want to get barred here, okay, fine. But if you're on the road counting cards, then yeah, you should have just kept playing until they bar you. And also, again, I'm assuming you're counting cards. This is different if you are playing with a higher edge where you don't want the game itself to get burned out. But it doesn't sound like that. This sounds like card counting. So that's my take.
Very good. Here's a video poker question. The listener says, I know that Royal Flush hits statistically after every certain number of hands. So if he only plays progressive machines where the jackpot exceeds the break-even point, it also means that a greater number of hands have been played on those machines. I would need to average much less hands to hit a royal. True or false? The answer is false. If the game was such that it was 40,000 to 1 to hit a royal on the very next hand, and it had been 200,000 hands since the last royal, it is still 40,000 to 1 to hit a royal on the next hand. There is no video poker scorekeeper in the sky. Each hand, conceptually speaking, dealt from a freshly shuffled deck. There's no such thing as being due. With that said, the royal cycle is shorter with a royal flush at 5,000 coins rather than 4,000 coins, simply because you play for the royal more aggressively when the progressive increases. So the royal cycle might be 36,000 hands or 34,000 hands if you're playing more aggressively for it. So in that sense, yes, it will come faster, but it will also, you will also be losing at a much faster rate until it does hit. Okay. Next question. Somebody says, tomorrow I'm going to play in an event at a nearby casino. He's going to play $1 double-double bonus. He plans on putting in $25,000 coin in. That would be an all-day event. If he could play all day, maybe he could do it. The event is 5 winners every 30 minutes. Get $500 of free slot play. How do I calculate that AV that's being generated? Okay, that kind of casino promotion, where is fairly typical. It depends on so many factors, of which right now I don't have a feel for it, because I don't know where this casino is, such as how many others will really be going for it, especially how many $5 and bigger players will dominate the virtual drawing drum, and how many times can the same person win. Casinos tend to run the same promotion over and over again, and over time, you'll get an estimate for how much this one or that one is worth to you. But to somebody who hasn't been inside this casino at all, I can't give you any precise calculation. It is possible that whatever EV it adds will not be enough to make dollar double-double bonus a good game. The 9-6 double-double bonus is basically 99% even. It is possible to make that up in the promotion. 9-5 double-double bonus takes away, that's like 97.8. It's unlikely it's going to be that high. There's 8-5 double-double bonus, and it gets worse. So just the fact that it's dollar double-double bonus is not enough information. All right. We're going to take a brief commercial break. We have lots more questions, and we'll be right back. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In September, the promotion is the $500,000 guaranteed Money Madness, where you have two casino-wide progressives running at all time. The major one must hit between $10,000 and $25,000, where all players playing when it goes off receive $25 in free play. To be eligible for this $25 in free play, you must have played any machine with your card in it, and it played at least $1 in the previous minute. The minor jackpot must be hit between $1,000 and $2,500, and it is scheduled to be hit about 3 times a day. Now, this is an annual promotion, and it's better this year than it's been before, simply because there are fewer players playing because of the COVID-19. This means at the South Point, when they say it's guaranteed 500,000, they will give that away. If they have given away at a lower rate through the first 3 weeks, they will increase the rate in the last week to make sure they give away what they promise. That's one of Mr. Gahn's trademarks. Since there's fewer people there and they're giving away the same amount of money, it means it's higher EV than it was before. What the exact EV was for this promotion, I don't have a clue. I'm not exactly sure if a $5 player has any greater chance than a 25-cent player. At some of these kind of promotions, they do, because the $5 player is playing 20 times as much, so he has 20 times the chances. And at some, it doesn't matter at all. And I don't know how it's configured. The computer is programmed in the background. And so if it's the same amount, obviously it would be a higher EV on a 25-cent player than it would be for a $5 player. But what I do know is it's a better bet this year than it has been in previous years. At predicted.org, there's a market where you can place small bets on the occurrence of various political events, mostly but not entirely in the United States. The most active market now are who's going to win in the various states come November, and of course, who's going to win the presidential election itself. Gambler with an Edge listeners receive a one-time offer of a deposit match up to $20 at predicted.org/promo/edge. You must play the money through once and cannot withdraw it for 30 days. BlackjackApprenticeship.com is an excellent site for those of you who wish to be successful at counting cards at blackjack. A recent free video posted deals that is posted on YouTube deals with dealing with losing streaks at blackjack. There's a large number of additional videos that have recently been posted behind the paywall for members only. If you're interested in counting cards at blackjack, this is an excellent site to belong to. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on a lot of the games. The game of the week is 100 Play with Quick Quads. Quick Quads is a 6-coin per line game where you get quick quads that are 3 of a kind, accompanied by 2 other cards that add up to the rank of the trips, such as 99954 or 4443 ace. In my opinion, this game is much more fun to play than regular video poker. Now, I've not seen the 100 play version in decent pay schedules, but if and when I find it, you can bet I'll sit down and play it. I don't normally play for fun, but this game, if it was anywhere near dollars per hour that I could get elsewhere, I would be playing that particular machine. All right, let's go back to the question. A lady writes us, her boyfriend was sipping a drink, didn't put his mask on between sips. Surveillance called on him and security gave him a lecture. Long story short, this is what surveillance in Nevada is being tasked with watching. Some might find this useful information. And my response is, that wouldn't happen at all casinos, but some are taking this much more seriously than others. We usually don't get into politics on this show, and I wish this hadn't become a political issue, but I'm far more on the side of public health for all of us, that it's better to be wearing a mask than not. Richard, do you have any comment on this?
No, but I mean, I would say that the people that are out there playing that I'm hearing from, the masks are a big help. The casinos are tasked with surveillance. People are doing more than they had to do before, and players are able to wear masks. So in many places, that has allowed players to play in places that usually they would not be allowed to play there.
Yeah, and I don't know who sent this, but it doesn't sound like they were AP players. If they were AP players, they would be eager to be wearing the mask and would not. And if you're sipping your drink, you kind of use the straw and put it under your mask and sip it that way, still keeping the mask in place. Because even if you lower your mask occasionally, that's enough for the casino to get a shot at you and they can go back and look at you closely. Okay. Next question. Can you guys talk about ways to get a new player's card? In my case, I have given my real ID to a large number of properties and want new cards for blackjack that may or may not have my real name on them. I've not been backed off or barred anywhere. but I also have not been playing super high and wanted to be proactive before I do some serious counting. Could you go over the various options from easy to extreme, i.e. government, alias IDs, other acceptable IDs, false identification without the intent to defraud, name change, etc.? It's my understanding that having a card with a different name and not collecting the comps or free play is completely above board, correct? Also, at what point, if any, between issuing the new card and later extreme heat, will they cross-check my face from the camera or the new ID photo against their database and discover my old card and real name? All right. You want to try this first?
Sure. Why do you want a card? Just say no. Be a refusal. I don't know why you would want it. I do not recommend it. I strongly urge you not to do it. But that being said, if you're insisting, first of all, do not get a fake ID. You may not get charged with a crime, but that doesn't mean you may not get arrested and spend a night in jail. Just because you're not doing anything wrong does not mean you will not be harassed. So other players who have not been doing anything wrong have been arrested and charged with all kinds of different things, including identity theft, you know, et cetera. So, I would say do not get a fake ID. One thing people have done is if you know somebody else who has that is approximately your gender and age, you can use their player's card. The comps end up going to them. But it would be a way for them to not cross-reference. As to whether casinos are going to figure out who you really are, some will and some won't. Every casino is different. Name change, yes, you can get a name change and get a new card that way. Most professionals have changed their name at least once. But again, I don't understand why you would want the card. Now, if you want the card just to get comps, well, you already have the cards and you don't have heat. So, but don't play in a way that's going to, if you're playing for comps, well, then the comp is your EV. So you don't want to pay for the hotel room. Maybe that's worth $200 for you and it costs you 4 hours of play in a way that is not going to get you any heat. Well, you've earned $50 an hour for that 4 hours. But the you don't want to get barred playing for comps.
Good. And in video poker is just so different, given that W2Gs are, if you're playing for any real money, W2Gs are inevitable and you need to give ID. And so to play video poker, you have to accept that they're going to have your ID.
Yeah, and so you wouldn't need one in a different name because you're going to have to give them your real one or you are committing a crime.
Yeah, it's a totally different mindset than playing as a refusal in blackjack. All right. While on a trip, what is your worst memory when everything went wrong? It can be unrelated to gambling conditions, weather, terrible sickness, misunderstanding between teammates, etc. What do you got?
Oh, man. So there is a thing in Korea, well, and Hong Kong, and maybe Japan too, called Golden Week. And Golden Week is this huge holiday, and everybody takes off work and things are incredibly crowded. Anyway, I'd been playing in Korea with my teammate. We had gone to Hong Kong to do some banking and we were flying back in preparation for Golden Week because, you know, you could play huge action during Golden Week because the casinos were just packed. And, so we are in Hong Kong and our flight is the next day at 7 p.m. and about 6 a.m., my teammate wakes me up and goes, "I just looked at the newspaper. Our flight is at 7 a.m., not 7 p.m. So we throw stuff into our suitcases, jump in a cab, get to the airport. This is back when the airport was right in the city, not 40 minutes out of town. We get to the airport, and there's still 20 minutes left. We run up to the counter, and the girl at the counter says, "Too late." I said, "What are you talking about? We have 20 minutes. The plane isn't leaving for 20 minutes. No, sorry. Counter is closed. Too late." I'm like, "No, we have to be on this flight. We have to get on this flight." And she's like, "No, you can't do it." And we're like, "Okay, when's the next flight?" Everything's sold out because of Golden Week. "Oh, but there is one flight at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and she can get us two seats." And I'm like, "Great, okay." You know, and I don't have cash because we've just come here to do banking and leave all the cash in Hong Kong, and we have more cash back in Korea. So I give her my American Express card. And she says, "Oh, we don't take American Express." I'm like, "What are you talking about? What about all these commercials, you know, that it's good in 187 countries and, you know, 50,000 places around the world or whatever? And they won't take the American Express. So we don't have any cash. They won't take the card. We were staying with Alan Woods. I call Alan. I'm like, "Is there anything you can do to give them a credit card to pay, you know?" And so we missed the flight, and we cannot get another flight for two more days. And so we basically missed playing go. Oh, and our BP flies from Japan into Korea, and he's there, and we have no way to get a hold of him. So we have no way to tell him that we can't get there. He has no keys to our apartment. That was my biggest nightmare trip.
Wow. The one I was going to talk about seems small change after that. Back in, I married Shirley in 95 in December, basically New Year's in 96. And on Valentine's Day, a month and a half later, we were playing at Treasure Island during a promotion. And Treasure Island did not have enough machines. You needed to, there were more players wanting to play this promotion than there was time on the machine available between when it started and when the drawing was. The drawing was a type of you play, I'll pick a number, $1,000, and you get one drawing ticket, and they're giving away several hundred thousand dollars. So the EV on it was well over $1,000 if you could get a seat on the game. And some players were not going to get it. So after dinner, 2 hours before the promotion started, she gives me an indication that if I come up to the suite, I'm really going to enjoy myself tonight. And I said, "All right, I need to go down to the high limit room just to check to see if a machine is available, or I can make a deal to get on a machine." And so I did. And no machines were open as I expected. And I knew most of the players on the particular machines. And so I put out there, "Does anybody want to make a deal where I would take over your machine now, which is 2 hours before the promotion started, and give it back to you at 8:15 in the morning, which would give you a full night's sleep, guaranteed have the machine when you want it, and plus I'll owe you a favor sometime down the road." One guy thought that sounded like a good idea. He was exhausted anyway, but he didn't want to leave the machine because it was worth so much money. Well, when I got back to the room at 8:15 or 8:30, opened the door, and an ashtray comes flying at me of "Where the hell you been?" Shirley was not quite up to date on Gambling with an Edge. And so somehow we made it through it. We lasted 17 years, and the reason we split had nothing to do with gambling or money or anything. But it was a rather traumatic misunderstanding. All right. That's going to do it for this week. We are nearing the end of our questions. So please send us some more. And at the end of every session, we have a section called Recommend. And so the surprise to everybody is that I actually have a recommendation this week. That is this coming Sunday, September 6th, Richard and I are both competing in an online storytelling event that is open to everybody for free. That where this, it has, the story has to be 99 seconds or less, has to be a true story told without notes, where you are, where the storyteller is a significant part of the story. Telling a story, an interesting story in 99 seconds is a challenge. There are a lot of very, very, very good storytellers invited. It's an invitational event. There's a small cash prize for the storytellers, but that's not the real reason we're doing it. It's major competition. Last time Richard made it to the finals, he's very, very good. I'm not terrible, but I didn't make it to the finals last time. I hope to this time. So if you want to see us enjoy our storytelling hobby, we'll put a link in the show notes. It is, it's going to be, there'll be a Facebook site you can go to, and it'll be on Facebook where you can't vote. But on the day of the event, they will publish a Zoom link, and you can follow that Zoom link and come in and watch. I think you'll have a good time. Richard.
My recommended this week is a new podcast called Risk of Ruin. It is made by a listener. His name is John Reed. And he made this thing on his own and sent it to us and said, hey, is this okay? Because what he did was he lifted clips from many different Gambling with an Edge episodes. And this is not the kind of podcast where he's interviewing somebody or just talking. This is more like, if you've ever heard This American Life, he structured the show about something. In this case, it was about Gambling with an Edge and professional gamblers, and picked clips from lots of different people who have been on the show. And he did such an amazing professional job. It is just really, really excellent. And anybody who listens to this show is going to love this. Because it's so hard to do and he's a one-man band, this is not a podcast that is going to come out every week. I just recently did another interview with him because his next show, I believe, is going to be about blackjack in the 70s and 80s. So he's interviewed a number of people for that episode. Myself, Tommy Hylands, Mark Billings, Daryl Purpose. So anyway, I can't recommend this highly enough. It's just an excellent, excellent podcast.
Yes, I agree. I was amazed by it. What I thought about it, what it was like a Ken Burns documentary without the pictures. So Ken Burns has done a number of these on PBS. Civil War or baseball or country music or lots of them, and does an excellent job. And this is almost that quality. It was amazing.
Yeah.
All right. This was fun. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.